against her brother, even though she did it b'shogeg, and even though she loved the brother, she didn't mean anything evil, but still one who speaks Lashon Hara is punished. So this is from the Sifrei. The Sifrei says like that, Zechiri, she remembered the punishment for Lashon Hara. But Rav Soloveitchik, you stay over there, Rav Kook has in his Siddur an additional, perhaps the more important Kavana. Rav Soloveitchik's Lashon was, he can't imagine that it should be a Zechir, one of the Sheish Zechir is such an important thing. Lashon Hara is a terrible Aver, but it's not your Yav, it's not such an important Aver that it should be one of the Sheish Zechir. So he thought like Rav Kook that the Shuto Shel Mikra, the significance of Zechir Chet Miriam, really is to remember the Ikir and Emuna that the Rambam lists off 13 Ikari Emuna. So one is that we believe in the Vuot, we believe in prophecy, there can be communication. There has been communication between God and man, and included in that is that we can daven also. There's a concept of Trila, we can speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can communicate to us. There are philosophers who say that it's impossible. How can God communicate with man? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, man is finite, it's an impossibility. Whatever the explanation is, we know that it happened. We know that we were all present at Maimon HaSinai, that our ancestors were present, and they were Nevi'im, not only Maimon HaSinai, they were Nevi'im throughout the generations. There is an institution of Nevuah, and not only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can communicate to us and we can hear something, we can communicate to him and we can speak to him. Then the Rambam has as another Iker in Amuna, that we believe that Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level of that of the other Nevi'im. So what's the significance of that? And Moshe Rabbeinu gets an A+, and he gets the award when he graduates college, the Nevuah Award. What's the significance of saying that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is on a higher level? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik gave when his uncle Rav Elvela passed away. So he delivered a hesped here in the yeshiva that he later printed, Madedech Midot, it's entitled. So he explained that the Minchasim, but he had said it years before. The Minchasim has bothered with Akasha, there is a din. One who violates the instructions of a Navi is punished with Misa V'Dei Shamayim. So the Minchas Chinuch is bothered with the Kasha, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, so whoever violates any Aveira Deraisa is Chai Misa V'Dei Shamayim. If you talk Lashon Hara, Chai Misa V'Dei Shamayim. If you wake up late in the morning, you don't say Kriya Shema B'Zman, say Chai Misa V'Dei Shamayim. Any Aveira that you do, so how come the Braisa in Sanhedrin and Daf Pei Dalet gives a brief list, just about 10 or so of Averas that Yechai Misa V'Dei Shamayim. It's a very short list. Every Avera that's in the Chumash should be Misa V'Dei Shamayim, because we're Oival Divrei Novi. So the some give a teretz, Oival Divrei Novi is only if you heard directly for the Novi. So the Dora Midbar Taka would be Chai Misa V'Dei Shamayim for talking Lashon Rabu. Since we didn't hear directly from the Novi, that's what the Rogan Shava says, that Oival Divrei Novi is only if you heard directly. And they give other terutzim as well. So Rav Soloveitchik gave, this is the teretz. Oival Divrei Novi means, Nevuah means by definition the Hayru Ashoah. If a Novi, other than Moshe Rabbeinu, or even sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu, if he tells you a din, that's only the Hayru Ashoah. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu instructs everybody, you have to knock on the next door neighbor's door, and Erev Pesach and ask for matonis from the Goyim, so that when you leave, you'd see us from time, we'll have all these minutes. So whoever will feel uncomfortable and will not knock on the next door neighbor's door will be Chai Misa V'Dei Shamayim, because he was told to have to do that. Or if someone will leave over mon for the next morning, that's a hirah, sure, not to leave over mon for the next morning. That was only for the Aboyim Shana on the Midbar. So whoever would violate that would be Misa V'Dei Shamayim. But the dinim that Moshe Rabbeinu said that abiding throughout all the future generations, of course he was a Navi, of course. He said everything had and vua bas begloria hamira, but he had a sentence because it was bas begloria hamira, so it's not called nevuah, it's called divrei Torah. So Torah, oiral divrei Torah, there is a whole series of punishments. Sometimes Korah, sometimes Misa V'Dei Shamayim, sometimes Mises Bezin, sometimes Malkus. It's a whole different ballgame, it's a whole different story. Oiral divrei Novi means if it's only b'toras nevuah, not b'toras Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's what this Iker in Amunah is not Moshe Rabbeinu, who gets an A+. He's the greatest Navi. Means Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one who was given the Vua that's binding L'doris, because that became a Cheftza Shel Torah. Sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu had only the Vua that was HaRasha, and sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu had the Vua that's binding L'doris. That's the Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Matos. Rashi quotes from the Sifrei on the beginning of Parshas Matos. Zeh hadavar shatziva Hashem. That's how it begins. So Rashi writes, Rashi quotes from the Sifrei, all of the other Nevi'im introduced their prophecy, including Moshe Rabbeinu, introduced their prophecy with the Loshen Koyamar Hashem, so says Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes has a higher level of prophecy. He's the only one who says Zeh hadavar. What's the difference? So the I believe Yitzchak Berditchever has a Sefer HaChumash that's called Kedushas Levi. Usually it's all Hasidus, Kabbalah and Hasidus, and over here it's just Pasha Pshat, he writes, that all the other Nevi'im were not given direct dictation, word for word and letter for letter, what to say. They are shown a Chazon and a Mare and a Chalom, and then they interpret it using their own language. And the other Nevi'im are always given Hayru Hashah. They're not told Dinim B'Doros. The only one who was told Dinim B'Doros is Moshe Rabbeinu. So when Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Bo, Moshe Rabbeinu, I think five times or so, in Parshas Bo, he's told there's going to be Koyim Hashem Kachatzos Halayla Niyatzei B'Serach Mitzrayim. That's not a din l'doros. He's preaching, he's saying, but in Vod, that Makas Pcharis is going to occur. All the things that he says in Parshas Bo were just l'shod. That's in the Vod l'shod. It's not a din l'doros. So he had an aspect gloria, she'ein emira. He saw a chalom and a chazon and a mare, same as the other prophets. And he said over in his own words, when Moshe Rabbeinu was given a din that the 613 mitzvahs that are noig l'doros, then he was given direct dictation, word for word, letter for letter. That's why we learn adidim from the fact that the word is spelled in chumash with an extra letter, it's missing a letter, naira, chosehei, molehei, and so on. We learn that from mole and choser, from hanik-tanik, when there's a repetition of a word, because every word, every letter was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's when it says Zeh HaDavar Shatziv Hashem. This is directly dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the Ikar and Emunah. We should remember Chet Miriam, because Miriam said we're all Nevi'im. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu Pirish Meni Yishu? Who does he think that he is? He thinks that he's a higher level of Navi than we are. So Moshe Rabbeinu was so humble he never explained to even to his family what was going on. He never explained to his wife, because when they were picking, that's what Rashi on Parshas Baal Oschach quotes in Medrash, when they were choosing the Shivim Zekenim, so Moshe Rabbeinu's wife gave a groan and a moan. She said, what are Achmanas on their wives? They won't be able to live with their husbands anymore because she wasn't living with her husband. So he didn't even tell his wife that it's only him. Atapa Mori Modi. She thought that everyone was a Navi. Anyone who gets Ruach HaKadosh has to separate from his wife. So she mentioned it to Tzipora, her sister-in-law. Tzipora mentioned it to Miriam. And Miriam said, who does he think that he is? We're all Nevi'im, and we didn't separate from our spouses. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu formulated this statement, and he said, Lochein Avdi Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu has a higher level of Nevi'im. So that's an Iker and Emunah, to know that Moshe Rabbeinu is the only Navi who says Dinim L'Doros, the only one who got Nevi'im Bas B'Gloria Meira. So that's the Pshat, that's the Pshutu Shal Mikra Zechiras Chet Miriam. Also included Chet Miriam is to remember that one who speaks Lashon Hara will be punished.
Why don't we have to mention it once a year?
The Magen Avraham quotes a Yalkut Shemayni that you have to lane Parshas Chet Miriam once a year, and we yotze by laning Parshas Kiseitze. Why they make a big tzimis like Parshas Zohar? The Gabbai should make an announcement. Everybody should have in mind to be yotze with the brachas, with the kriya, and they should have a special haftarah. So he says it's a genus for us, a tzadek is that we should make a big tzimis about it, but everybody should have in mind to be yotze when we read the Parshas Kiseitze. He says the same regarding Zechiras Chet HaEgel. Also, the Chumash seems to say, quotes, the Ramban says like that. The Ramban disagrees with a lot of points that the Rama has about the Minyan HaMitzvahs. So the Ramban deletes a lot of mitzvahs the Rama has, both in the Mitzvah Sese and in the Mitzvah Sele Sese. So he has to replace them with other mitzvahs. So one of the mitzvahs that he replaces it with is this mitzvah to remember Chet HaEgel. So how does one fulfill the Chiris Chet HaEgel? We don't make a special parsha. So that's what the Magen Avraham writes. It's a genus for Klal Yisrael. We should make a special parsha Chet HaEgel. So we have a mind to be yotzim when we read parshas Kisisa, when we read about the Chet HaEgel. So the same when you learn parshas Kisisa, you have to have a mind to be yotzim, not only with parshas Zechiris HaMolek, they should have a mind to be yotzim with Zechiris Chet Miriam as well. In parshas Kisisa, you have the mitzvah Ben Sora and Mora. And one of the Tanoim in Sanhedrin, later in Sanhedrin, one of the Tanoim is of the opinion that the conditions that are necessary to have a Bensor Amor are so difficult, it's physically impossible to ever have a Bensor Amor. Why is it physically impossible? The parents have to be the same height and the same, approximately the same weight and the same age and the same facial features and the same voice. So the Mefarshim explains the same voice. What do you mean? A woman has a man's voice, a man has a woman's voice. Usually means that they can't have any children. So the conditions are so far-fetched, it probably can never be fulfilled. So one Tana claims there never was and there never will be a Metzara Mora. Other Tana disagrees, says, not true. I was once in the cemetery and they showed me a grave and they said that's the grave of the Metzara Mora. And on the same daf, the Gemara quotes later, one Tana says there never was and there never will be a Bais HaManuga, because the conditions to have Tzaraz Batim are so complicated, it's never going to happen. It can't happen. And third Tana is of the opinion that Nir Anidachas is so far-fetched. How can you have a city in Eretz Yisrael that doesn't even have one mezuzah? That's what the Gemara says. Unfortunately, Bava Nesena Rabim and our generation, there are cities in Eretz Yisrael that for the last 70 years, they have no mezuzahs. It's changing now, but the Tanoim couldn't visualize such a thing. A city in Eretz Yisrael without one mezuzah, there isn't one person that has a mezuzah on his door. Whereas if there's one mezuzah, so the whole din of Anidachas doesn't apply. Because the din is you have to burn all of the property of all the people who live in the city. You're not allowed to burn a mezuzah, that's it. It's either no, all or nothing. So you give the people, those who worship Tavod Zara, give them the death penalty, like Yechidim. But you don't declare the whole city as an Anidachas because you can't observe all the details. So it's very strange. Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in dinim in the Chumash? The Chumash is a law book, a collection of halachas. Why should the Baruch Hu put in a din in the Torah? There never was and it never will be. So strange. The Gemara says, Drosh v'kabal schar. What do you mean, Drosh v'kabal schar? It takes 7.5 years to finish the Daf Yomi cycle. 7.5 years is a lot of time. So how many dinim, how many blat gemara are there about Bais HaManuga? Maybe 3 prokim in the goyim. Less than 3 blat. You look in the big gemaras. And how many dafim are there about Ben Sarah Mora? It's a whole perek, but the whole perek is not all about Ben Sarah Mora. 4 blat. And how many blat are there about even Idachas? 2 blat at the end of 3 blat maximum. 3 blat. So 10 blat. So you'd finish 10 days earlier. 10 days earlier. Takes 7.5 years to finish the daf yomi. So you would have finished 10 days earlier. So what's drosh v'kabal schar? We get enough schar for learning the rest of the Gemara, all the Mishnahs. What does it mean, drosh v'kabal schar? So it must mean something more. That's what the Baal HaTanya explains in his droshes. That it would appear from the fact that there's a Tana who thinks that there's either 1 or 2 or 3 mitzvahs that never were, never will be, seems to indicate that the Chumash is not, it's true the Chumash is a collection of dinim, but it's not all, that's not all that it is. It must be that it's something more than that. If you include dinim, they never were and never will be. So it must be something more than a law book. So it must be that the Chumash is referred to Rashi and Chumash and Parshas Mishpatim, quotes a Medrash, commenting on the Pasuk and say for Shmuel, that the Novi speaks about Kashiyoyim HaMashal HaKadmoini Merishoyim Yetzei Resha. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, the Moshal HaKadmoni is the Chumash. So that is Mishalo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehu Kadmono Shal Olam. It's the ancient, it's the Moshal of the ancient one. The Kadmoni is the Rabbanu Shalom, he was there before the world came into existence. What do you mean it's a Moshal HaKadmoni? So that means it's a Moshal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Chavetz Chaim writes in one of his sermons, it's a Moshal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like a photograph, Balazs. It's just like if I'd never seen the prime minister, I never saw the king of the country, but I saw his photograph in the newspaper, and then I see somebody walking around in Washington, or in the capital of the country, and it looks like the fellow in the newspaper, so I can identify that's the prime minister, or that's the president of the country, or that's the king, because I know what he looks like. So the Chumash is a marshal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't really, human beings can't really understand the Lakus, it's Lamala Mehasagas Bani Adam. We can never understand this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mashal to try to understand what Lakus is all about. So he couldn't give us a simple mashal, but also be Lamala Mehasagas Bani Adam. So the Chumash is a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. It's to get a glimpse of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like. So every mitzvah has with it a partial description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every mitzvah has with it, you have to put on tzitzis, you have to wear tefillin, you have to say Kriya Shema, you have to listen to Tkir Shofar, and so on, you have to observe Shabbos and Kashrus, and so on and so forth. And some of the aspects of the Chumash that are described in Malakus never come up as a mitzvah masis. So that's why it's possible to have 1 or 2, or possibly even 3 mitzvahs. The Bais HaManuga, the Irani Das, but the Mitzvah Moreh, which according to Tanoim, Olohoye, Oloyase, Liyos, these are not Nohei Kalochla Maisa. It's for the purpose of the Shleimus, the full picture of what a Lakus is all about, so the Baruch Shalom had to write these dinim, but it's not Nagir La Halacha L'Maisa. It's interesting. The Pasuk says in Mahaloischa that the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu was Utmunos Hashem Yabit. The other Nevim did not see Tmunos Hashem, only Moshe Rabbeinu saw Tmunos Hashem. So it conveys a little bit the mistaken impression as if God really has a body, and no one ever is allowed to enter into the inner sanctum to see what he looks like. And Moshe Rabbeinu was so beloved, Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to enter, and he saw what God really looks like. What do you mean God doesn't have any body? What do you mean Tmunos Hashem Yabit? So the Pashtus, what it means is Moshe Rabbeinu was the only prophet who was given a description of Elokus, the Torah is Tmunos Hashem, the Torah is the Mashal HaKadmoni, the Mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only a Mashal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like a photograph of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One who learns Kol HaTorah Kula gets a glimpse of what Elokus is all about. The Baruch Hashem couldn't give us a real Mashal, he can't explain what Elokus is, we would never understand it, couldn't give us an elementary, he couldn't give us a real Mashal, so he gave a Mashal of a Mashal. Remember when I was a little boy, so they used to, maybe they used to have little comic books to explain what atomic energy is all about. So I remember they used to have blue balls and red balls and white balls and yellow balls. These were, I don't know physics, these are electrons and neutrons and protons and whatever they were. And these are flying about this. That's what it's really like. That's a comic book for little children. And then you go to high school and they teach you a little physics, and then it's also a mashal. Then you go to college and they say what they taught you in college, in high school, that's just a mashal. This is what it really is. Then you go to graduate school and they say what they taught you in college undergraduate, that's just a mashal. This is what it really is. And then every 2 months in the newspaper they write that some genius physicist explained that what they say in graduate school is also just a mashal. It's really this and it's really that. You have to give a mashal that children should understand and high school students should understand. So the Torah is a mashal that human beings should understand, get a glimpse of what Elokus is all about. So every mitzvah gives a little bit of a description of Elokus, and everything altogether gives the full picture. So that's why it's meaningful to have mitzvahs that are lohoye v'lo'asidim liyos, because it's what do you need it for? Drosh v'kalbo schar. It doesn't mean get schar. Get schar pshuta. Get schar. We have 7.5 years at Adaf Yomi, so we would have made the siyum 10 days earlier. You didn't need these 10 blodges to keep us busy. We could have started the new cycle 10 days earlier. It means drosh v'kalbo schar. It's necessary for the shleimus of the description of Elokus. The Gemara at the beginning of Yevamos points out,
That's also
true.
But isn't that what it means? Kabbalah star, more star.
I think it means more than that. The Gemara said at the beginning of Yevamos, if you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, that's one of the midrash HaTorah Rashi's mem. That's called a hekesh. What if you have two dinim written in two adjacent psukim? That's called smuchim. So that's a machlokes HaTanan, whether you darshan smuchim. And generally speaking, we only darshan smuchim in Chumash Dvarim. Chumash Dvarim started off as being Torah Shabbal Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu, before he's about to die, starts chazering all the dinim in the Torah. He's transmitting Torah Shabbat Peh to Bnei Yisrael. So when he's transmitting Torah Shabbat Peh, he says over one din. So that reminds him of another din. And this he links up with another din. So the Seder HaParshis has a logical connection between the first Parsha, second Parsha, third Parsha. By association, he says the second din and the third din and the fourth din. So that's when the Gemara says, in Chumash Dvarim is Moshe Mipi Atzmai Amor. Moshe is chazering the halacha, so he says the dinim in the order that there's a connection between the two. So that's what the Gemara says in Chumash Dvar Midarshan Smuchim, as if it would have been a hekesh, as if you would have had the two dinim written in the same pasuk. We have many famous drushas that are based on smuchim. So in this week's Sedra alone, we have three. We have three famous drushas. You have the Parsha of Malkus V'Hayah and Bin Hakos HaRasha. if the Rasha Bezlin should ascertain who's the Rasha and who's the Tzaddik, when they ascertain who the Rasha is, so they give him Malkus, and then the very next pasuk says Lo Sachsam Shor B'Dishoy. So the whole Perik Elohein Aloikin, the third Perik in Makkah, said all the Tanaim agree. How do you establish who gets Malkus? Not every Averidi get Malkus. There are 365 Lavim. You don't get Malkus for one of them. The Rambam has how many? Zar, I think, Gematria, Reish Zion, 207 of the 365 you get Malkus. How come we chisel the way so many Averis is on Malkus? Because you only get Malkus if the Averis Dumi the Lav the Chasim has to be similar to Losach Mashor Bedisha. The Tanaim have a whole Machlokes, what's considered similar? What's a Lav Shein Bo Maisa? Lav Shenit Lon Saras and Mrs. Bezna? Whatever all the rules and the regulations are. Lav Anitik Lese, Lav Shekot Maisa, whatever the rules are, but all the Tanaim agree that to establish which Averis get Malkus, which not, is determined by what's Dumi the Lav the Chasima. We have another pasuk in today's sedra, also where we darshan smuchim. We have many of the psule kohol, almost all the psule kohol are in today's sedra. A mitzri, ve'edoimi, and amoine, mayovi, and mamzer, and tzuadako, krushovcha, it's all in today's sedra. Machse grushasa is in today's sedra, and soita is in today's sedra. That's a big chunk of Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra about the psule kohol. So how do you establish who's considered a mamzer, who's not? Leyom mamzer bekal Hashem. So that's right next. It's not exactly right next to. That's an issue, but it's samuch to the pasuk. Leikachish sheishes zoviv leigal kenafoviv. So there are different opinions in the Tanoim. When is a child a mamzer? We paskin, it depends on Chabi Krisis. And Rabbi Akiva says Chabi Lavan also, but there are three different versions of what Rabbi Akiva said. When we learn Givomis, when we learn Kedushin, you go through the different versions. So there are four different shitas. When is the Vlad a Mamza, when is the Vlad not a Mamza? So that's based on the Smuchim over here, that the Pasuk, Lo Yavah Mamza Bekal Hashem, is Samuch, not 100% Samuch. Rashi talks about it. Samuch to the Pasuk, Lo Yigala Knaf Aviv. And that's a Machlokes HaTanaim. What does that refer to? So we pass when the Yigala Knaf Aviv goes on Eishes Aviv, that is an Issa Kores. And other Tanaim say, no, the Yigala Knaf Aviv goes on Anusa Aviv. If my father had an affair with a woman, even though he was never married to her, so she's not Eishes Aviv. Leikach Eishes Aviv means if the woman was once married to my father. Leigala Knaf Aviv means my father had an affair with a woman. So usually the din is Noisim Malo Anusa, you're permitted, let's say, had an affair with a girl, so I'm allowed to marry her sister. You're not allowed to marry this Eisha, you're not allowed to marry Achos Ishtoi, unless the wife passed away already. Achos Ishtoi B'chayeha is awesome. But Kozman, the wife is alive, you're not allowed to marry the other. So what if I had an affair with a girl? The din is I'm allowed to marry, I'm permitted to marry the sister. That's a din, that's a perik, Noisim Malo Anusa. And Anusa Saviv is a Machlekes HaTanoim. So one Tana says the Vlad is even a mamzer from Chayvi Lavin because the Loi Gala Knaf Aviv goes on Anusa Savi where there's no curse. And it's been right next to Somuch to the Pasuk of Loi Yava Mamzer. Then also on today's Sedra there's a famous Michas HaPsukim, there are many more, but these three are famous. The Mamzer is famous and the Malkus is famous. Dumi Delav Dechasima. And then you have the principle of Eser Deichel Oses, it's based on the Smuchim in today's Sedra. You have the mitzvah of Gdilim Tassel L'chalab HaKam Chuzcha Asher Techaset Bo, then it's a Lassil B'Shatnes, Sam Rafishtim Yachtav. You're not allowed to wear Shatnes, it's written in the Pasuk right next to the mitzvah of wearing tzitzis to teach you that when you put on tzitzis with trailers, you're always gonna be violating the Iser. You'll often be violating if the beged is made from Pishton. Beged Samhom Abatar is either Pishta Tzemer or Pishtim. So if you have a beged made from Pishtim, from linen, and you want to put in tzitzis, so the Chutei Lovon can be Pishton, but the Chutei Treles have to dafke be Tzemer. Treles has to be a specific color, and the string which is dyed Treles has to be dafke Tzemer. So if you have Chut Shal Tzemer tied on with a Kesher, a real Kesher onto a beged Shal Pishton, that's going to be Shatnez Deraisi, but it's still permissible. That's Mutter. And this smuchim is the marker for the institution of Eser Dechol Oseh. That's in this Sedra alone. There are three famous drushes. There are more than three, but there are three famous drushes in Halacha. There's a very famous drush on the other pasuk in Kriya Shema. It says one pasuk next to the other. Kshat melos al yadecho, uchsavta mal mezuzas beisecho v'sharecho. So the Gemara says that a woman cannot write an ois in a Sefer Torah. A woman cannot write a mezuzah, even though women are mechuyvim mezuzah. It's a mitzvah saseh shaloi hazman groma, but the woman cannot write her own mezuzah because mishayeshna bikshira, yeshna bikziva, yidarshin smuchim. Only those who are mechuyiv to wear tefillin who wear tefillin. Men are mechuyiv. Non-Jews are not mechuyiv, and children are not mechuyiv. Cheresh adukot, not mechuyiv. So they cannot write tefillin. Only such a Jewish person, a male Jewish person, is mechuyiv and wears tefillin, is kosher to write uchsavta mal mezuzah by seichu sherecha, to write a mezuzah. A woman who is not mechuyiv in tefillin cannot write sefer Torah tefillin or mezuzah. There are many, many more drushes, very famous drushes of smuchim in Mishneh Torah, the Gemara says, and the other chumashim we basically hold the own darshan smuchim. Here in there, the Gemara has a drush of smuchim, so many rishonim say that it must be an asmachta, must be a remes. But over here in Chumash Dvarim, it's bona fide drushes. You certainly do darshan smuchim.
When you the rest of Torah, which is letter for letter, word for word, letter for letter, certainly the juxtaposition of two psukim makes a difference. Who juxtaposed the psukim? It's word for word, letter for letter.
The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu, every day for 40 years was given another parsha, another parsha, another parsha. It's a question: did he write it down on the spot, or did he only write everything down at the end? But he was given the different parshas at different times, and then in the end of his life, the Rebbeinu Shlom said, take this parsha and put it over here, put this over here. But they were originally dictated at different times, except for Chumash Dvarim, that was Moshe Rabbeinu, as he's about to die, so he's going to chazer everything. So he starts saying one din, and then by association that reminds him of another din, by association reminds him of another din. So the Rebbeinu Shlom dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, put it in that order, put it in the order of association, that every parsha is linked to the other parsha. And the rest of the Chumash was not given the Maimon Echad, not like Chumash Dvarim was given the Hemshech Echad. The rest of the Chumash was given every day. A different din was given, separate. You can't have it. You're going to have a separate sefer for each parsha. So we have Chamishu Chumash Torah, and you put as much into each sefer as you can. So there's not necessarily going to be a connection between one sedra and the other. And this week's sedra we have also the Torah considers a principle Yilbash Gevesim Lasisha. The Torah wants a separation of the genders. And the dinim are different. Men and women have different roles in life. They have the same kedushas Yisrael. When the Baruch Shalom proclaimed, Atem Tiyulim, Amlechas Koyim, Kodesh, he said it equally to the men and to the women. The men and the women have the same level of kedushas Yisrael. But for many, many halachas, there are mishnayis. There's a mishnah in Soito, and a long Tosefta adds on more. There are many halachas where the halacha distinguishes between men and women. One of them is this dinuk shaitim achzaptim, that women cannot write their own mezuzah. A woman has to have a man write the mezuzah for him. It's even a machlokes achrayim, but a woman has to get a man to put the mezuzah on her door. So when achrayim hold that just like a woman is not ksheir for ksivas on mezuzah, so she's not ksheir for kfiyas on mezuzah either. Also kshaitim achzaptim. Yeah, that's the Pashta says that's not so. The only question, the only legitimate machlekes achrayim is whether a non-Jew can put on the mezuzah. Do you need lishma? If you need lishma, so a non-Jew cannot do lishma because he's not mechuyev in the mitzvah. He cannot create lishma. If you don't need lishma, so a non-Jew can also put on the mezuzah. The Pashta says like that. But some hold even at kedekach that a woman cannot even do kviyas on mezuzah. Let's say a man doesn't have use of his arm. A man is not healthy, so he needs someone to put on the tefillin on his arm. So if a woman puts on a tefillin, would be yoytzei or not? So the Maram Shik has a tshuva. He thinks that he wouldn't be yoytzei. A chiddush. Not only is the woman psula for ksivas ha-mezuzah, for ksivas ha-tefillin, woman is psula for kviyas ha-mezuzah. Woman is psula for putting on the tefillin. The pashtus, we assume not so, that a woman is kshera for putting on the tefillin. The question is, if my wife puts the tefillin on my arm, can I say a bracha or not? That's the question. Because the bracha, I'm mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin. My wife did a mitzvah of gemilas chasadim by putting the tefillin on my arm. She doesn't get the mitzvah of tefillin. I'm wearing the tefillin. And I'm getting the mitzvah of tefillin. But I didn't do the maisa mitzvah. The maisa mitzvah, the hiduk, ukshatim, the tightening of the tefillin. And we usually have the klal is that you only say brichas ha-mitzvah when you do the maisa mitzvah. When you have a kiyum ha-mitzvah, you don't say a bracha. I move into an apartment that has mezuzahs. So the Magen Avraham says, you weren't kaveh mezuzah, so you can't say lekvaya al kviyas mezuzah, lekvaya mezuzah, but you say bracha shekadoshana b'mitzvah v'tzvano ladur ba'bay sheyesh bo mezuzah. And the Magen Avraham's opinion has not been accepted. The Achrayim disagree. And that's one of the reasons that the Birkei Yosef gives. You don't say a bracha when you mekayim a mitzvah. You only say a bracha when you do a ma'isa mitzvah. So if my wife tightens the tefillin on my arm, I probably should not say the bracha laniach tefillin. Question, maybe I say the bracha al mitzvahs. That's a discussion. But laniach, you probably do not say. But the Pashto says that you are yotze the mitzvah. Maram Shir quotes, there's a Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says that there was once a woman, so she used to be married to a tzaddik. She used to help him put on the tefillin on his arm. So kasher v'slo kasher shatfillin. And then he died, and she married a gangster. The gangster was always stealing, robbing money, whatever. And hoisuk kasheris lo kesher shal muhsin. So the wife went along with the husband. The husband was a gangster, a ganav, so you should tie knots on the bag with the loot to help her husband run away with the loot that he stole. So Gemara talks about the women helping the husbands. So Gemara talks about the wife tightening the tefillin on the husband. He wasn't well. If I make a shliach to do bedikas chametz, so the one who does the, I can make a shliach for bedikas chametz. So the one who does the bedika says the bracha. He's not yotze the mitzvah. He just. That could be. That could be. Maybe he should say the bracha lahaniach tefillin. That's possible. Maybe the wife should say the bracha. When the wife puts the tefillin, maybe she should say the bracha lahaniach tefillin. Maybe, I don't know. But the husband who has the tefillin placed on his arm, he probably should not say the bracha. She's saying, yeah, like I put a mezuzah on your door. So I'm doing a mitzvah gemilas chasar, and you're yotzei the mitzvah mezuzah. But when I put the mezuzah on, I say, likvaya mezuzah. If a woman volunteers to do a mitzvah seser shazman grama, so the meaning Ashkenaz is like there are many times that the women do say bracha.
There's no difference between a male and female putting on the tefillin. Either way, he or she should make the bracha for the male if he needs the tefillin put on.
Could well be. Could well be. That's a possibility. Okay.
Use this gemara as a kasha. It sounds like this gemara is a kasha.
Which gemara?
The gemara about the woman tying the
tefillin. Yeah, the Pashim Shatnei Gemara is that he was yotze. He talks about the Gemara. He thinks that a woman is psula for tightening the tefillin. If you say a woman is psula, then the woman should be psula for putting up the mezuzah also. That opinion is not the popularly accepted opinion. There is such a minority view, but that's not the generally accepted opinion. In this week's parsha, you have all the dinim of gittin, kiddushin, chalitza, yibum, machzik grushasa, isaita, all the halachas of get. I learned that from the pasuk. Pasuk describes how a husband divorces his wife. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Gerushin, Perek Aleph, he says there are sora dinim, there are 10 dinim, all based on psukim. List off alabes gimel till yud, and everything is based on psukim. And today said it's all in today's parsha. Then you have today's parsha, it's a chock full of dinim. Then you have today's parsha, it's a parsha of nidre mitzvah. Kisida dada l'asham al-kech l'asach l'shalma, mutzah sach tishma v'yasisa, kasha nadarta l'asham al-kech l'dom, asha dibarta b'ficha. That's the parsha of nidorim. Yeah, parsha of nidorim is the beginning of parsha's matos. Beginning of parsha's matos. So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs can't say there's one mitzvah saseh that's repeated. Mitzvah sechet tishma to observe whatever neder you took, and kolayetz mepiv yaseh over there, and that pasuk in parshas matos. The Ramban is masig on the Rambam, and he thinks that these should be counted as two distinct mitzvahs because they're really so different from each other. He says, let's say a person takes a neder, his mother-in-law is having her 100th birthday, whatever, and he takes a neder, well, he's not going to attend the birthday party. No, that's a mitzvah. He takes a neder. And then he sticks to his guns and he doesn't attend. He doesn't attend, so he's mekayim a mitzvah. So he's not mekayim a mitzvah. It's stupid. It's an iser asay. It's not a kiyum a mitzvah. It's an iser asay. But here, that's about nidre harishus. A guy takes a neder, he's not going to eat the potato chips or whatever. Maybe it's a mitzvah. He should go on a diet. Maybe lose weight. But not eating potato chips per se is not a nidre mitzvah. And here the pasuk is talking about tzusachot tishmar. This talks about a person took a neder to bring a korban, to give tzedakah, to learn Torah. This is talking about nidre mitzvah. So the Ramban thinks they should be counted as two distinct mitzvahs. One is by nidre harushus, cholayetz mipiv yaseh zenisa rasei. And over here, this is nidre mitzvah, mitzvah tishma v'yasisa, kashen adat el hashem lokech hanadava. This is nidre mitzvah, where there's a kiyum asei, not just an isa asei. This is a kiyum asei. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Rambam also must agree with the Ramban, that one is a kiyum asei, one is an isa asei. But the Rambam thinks that despite the fact that they're so different, you can include them both in one mitzvah. There's one mitzvah sase, and he considers it a kefal mitzvah. The Rambam has shorosh tests. Ram has 14 shoroshim to determine which mitzvahs belong in the main mitzvahs, which not. So shorosh test is one of the more famous ones. So he says when you have a kefal mitzvah, mitzvah is repeated several times, so you only count it once in the main mitzvahs. So he considers this the kefal mitzvah, even though the pashto says that the Rambam will also agree that that's an iser asay and this is a kiyum asay. Ramban has another two distinctions between nidre mitzvah and nidre harushus. One is an iser asay, one is a kiyum asay. Then he has another difference. He says lo sa'acha de shalmai, he thinks only applies, that's in today's sedra, kisidre neder lashem alakecha nidre mitzvah, there's a din of lo sa'acha de shalmai, you have to bring the korban within shalosh regolim, within a year, whichever comes first, within a year, within shalosh regolim. And the Ramban thinks that there is no din of balti acher on nidre harushus, only on nidre mitzvah. Let's say a guy takes a neder, the Ran on the dorm has this mashal. Person takes a neder, I will abstain from eating potato chips for a period of time of 3 months to be determined. I'll have to determine when it's going to be. So does he have to hurry to do the 3 months within 12 months in order not to violate the lo sa'acher? So Ramban says, no, lo sa'acher l'sham is when it's a nidre mitzvah and there's a kiyum esei. So losa, don't delay the fulfillment of the kiyum esei. But the other pasuk, kolayetz mipiv yaseh zenisar esei. So there's no rush to observe that, you know, you don't observe anything by nidre mitzvah, just don't violate it. So the Ramban thinks that there is no balti acher when it comes to a nidre harushus. Rabbi Akiva Eiger in the Gilyan Hashas on the side of the Gemara points out on the dorm there's a Ran who gives that mashal. A person took a neder to abstain from eating potato chips for 30 days. So the Ran says he has to hurry to do the 30 days of abstaining within Yud Beis Chodesh or within Shalosh Regalim, otherwise it'll be a violation of Valteacher. So the Rabbi Gevege points out that the Ramban and the Ifra Mitzvahs disagrees. Then the Ramban has another distinction between the two, that a Nidre Harishuas, a Nidre Harishuas is only binding if the person says such a Lashon, har any noder, or har any nishba, or he says such an equivalent in another language. I take an oath. He has to say either har any noder, har any nishba, or an equivalent. But if he just says, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning early and I'm going to learn Daf Yomi before Shachris. He didn't say Harini Noider. So Gemara says, Okum v'yeshna, perek zeh, I'm going to wake up early and learn this perek. Neder gadol nader l'elokei yisro. So the Ramban asks, but he didn't say Harini Noider, he didn't say Harini Nishba. Why is it binding? So he says, you see from the Gemara, and several Gemaras like that, the Gemara never has the Lashon Harini Noider, Harini Nishba. That in Nidre Mitzvah, you don't need Harini Noider. He just says he's going to do it, and it's understood that he's pledging, even though he never said, I pledge, I swear, I take an oath. The din is a nidre mitzvah, a binding, even if you didn't say that lashon, hareni noida, hareni nishba.
When he makes that he's not going to eat potato chips, he has to swear, which time will be determined. Is that, the rabbi said that because he has to say that, or otherwise he would have to start right away?
Usually when a person says, I'm not going to eat potato chips for 30 days, so usually it depends on the context. If he meant right away, so it begins right away. If he says, and I have the right to pick whenever I want, then there wouldn't be any baltacher either, the Ran explains. He says, whenever I decide I want to, whenever I want to. So he has the right to wait 10 years if he wants to. Just chashin ishem ayomus. We shouldn't let him wait 10 years. He may die before he'll fulfill his, observe his neder. But the Ran says if he didn't say Masay She'erzeh, so then it will be governed with Bal Te'acher. So he has to observe that not eating the potato chips within the next Shalosh Regalim. And That's against the Ramban. Ramban on the Sefer HaMitzvahs disagrees. You have many different drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh, which is not Lefi Pshuto, Shal Mikro. Yeah, for example, in today's Sedra, the Pasuk speaks about two people fighting with each other. Kinotza Anashim V'Korba Eishe Se'echod Kinotza Anashim Yachtav Ish V'Yachav towards the end of the parsha. Korba Eishe Se'echod L'Hatzal L'Sishim Yad Makeu Sholcha Yod V'Hechzika V'Mu'usha V'Katzoy Sa'es Kapo. Cut off a hand. So the Rambam says the woman is a Roidev. The Katzoy Sa'es Kapo means you have a right to kill the Roidev. You have a right to kill the Roidev. That's the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Then the Torah Shebal Peh has an additional level of interpretation that it's talking about Boshes. That she didn't grab onto Mevushov to kill him. She grabbed onto Mevushov, she pulled his pants down to humiliate him, to embarrass him. So in addition to paying Nezik, Tzari, Peshevas, based on other Psukim and Chumash, you have to pay Boshes as well. So that's the Torah Shebal Peh gives an additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk. That's what we usually say. We have a lot of psukim where the Pshuto Shel Mikra means one thing, and the Torah Shebal Peh gives an additional level of interpretation. I mentioned on Sunday night, that the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs points out, the Gemara never said, Ein ba Mikra ela Pshuto. The Gemara never said, only Pshuto Shel Mikra is true. The Gemara says, Ein ha Mikra yotze midei Pshuto. So the context in the Gemara in Shabbos is that there was one of the Amoraim who learned in Yeshiva, I think, for 15 years. And he always thought that just the drushes of Torah Shebal Peh are binding. And the Pshuto Shel Mikra you have a right to ignore. Pshuto Shel Mikra doesn't mean a thing. You ignore it. And after 15 years, then the Rebbe said, no, the Talmud never heard that. There was a chiddush to him. And Amikra Yitzimidei Pshuto, Pshuto Shel Mikra is also emes. But the drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh for sure are emes. That's what he was learning the last 15 years. He never knew that Pshuto was binding. Take, for example, there's a famous pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. It says, when a father sells his daughter as an Amariya, lo sei tsei kitseis ho avadim. How do you translate the pasuk? So Rashi gives you a drosh of the Torah Shebal Peh. People don't even think what's the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Rashi always quotes droshes from the Torah Shebal Peh. So Rashi quotes heavy terminology. When an Eved is Yotze L'Cheris, that's called the Yetzia L'Cheris. Lo sei tsei kitseis ho avadim. The Omo Hevriya, the father sells his daughter as an Omo Hevriya, she doesn't have a Yetziya B'Shen V'Yayin. An Eved Knaini is Yetziya B'Shen V'Yayin. An Omo Hevriya is not Yetziya B'Shen V'Yayin. Leiseitze, she doesn't have a Yetziya Ketzeisa Abarim. But that's not Pshuto Shel Mikra. That's a drasha of Torah Shebal Peh. That's an additional level of interpretation. What's the Pshuto Shel Mikra? No one ever thinks, what's the Pshuto Shel Mikra? She doesn't have a Yetziya like an Eved Knaini. And what about an Eved Ivri? Also doesn't go out to B'Shen V'Yayin. Only Eved Knaini goes out. So that's based on a hekesh. Just like the Om Havri is not Yotze B'Shem V'Yayin, so the Eved Ivri is also not Yotze B'Shem V'Yayin. But this is not Pshuto Shel Mikra. So what's the Pshuto? So the Tur has the famous comment, if I buy an Om Havri, I can't ask her. She's a little girl. She's only 9-10 years old. I have no right to ask her to go to the post office and go deliver the package to someone else's house. L'seitze k'tzei sa'avodim. It wasn't in the Bzman Matan Torah, it wasn't Derech Eretz to expect of a girl she should go do work out of the house. I asked her to wash the dishes in the kitchen, to set the table, and to do the laundry, and to clean the windows, to do things in the house. But it's not Derech Eretz. You have no right to ask her. Lo yaseitze k'tzei sa'avodim. A male Eved, you can ask him to go shopping and to go do things in public, in the street. And the girls, it's not Derech Eretz. So there are two things that that's the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Maybe there's another Pshuto Shel Mikra, I don't know. And what Rashi says is only the drasha of the Torah Shebal Peh. So you have many psukim like that. It happens that in this parsha, today's Sedra, there is the one and only pasuk in the whole Chumash where the pasuk is Yotze Midei Pshuto. The Mikra is Yotze Midei Pshuto. The Pshuto Shel Mikra doesn't mean anything at all. Torah says, when a man dies and he leaves no descendants, has no children, has no grandchildren, so the wife has to have Yibum or Chalitza. So if they do Yibum, so the simple reading of the pasuk is V'hoya p'chor she'teila, the first baby that will be born, Yochem Hashemachiv Ameh, should be named after the one who died. V'lo yimachish mami Yisrael, the one who died left no descendants, he shouldn't be wiped off. So there is no such din. That din doesn't exist. The first baby does not have to be named after the one who died. There is no such halacha. So how do you read the pasuk? So there's no pshuto. Why abchor is one din, Asher Teilit is a second din. It's like a title, like a heading, like a subtitle, whatever. So the pasuk, there's a Mishnah Bava Kama like that. Shum kesef shava kesef, b'fnei bez, b'fnei edin, b'nei chorim, b'nei bris. There is no sentence, there is no paragraph, there is no sentence. Every two words are a title, are like you write an outline. I'm going to give a speech. So I write an outline of which topics I want to cover. I write Git Me Kedushim. I'm going to give a whole shiur on Git Me Kedushim. I just write a few words. So it says there, Shum Kesef, that's a title for a whole paragraph. Shava Kesef is a title for another paragraph. Al Piyedim, Pinechorim, Pinebris, each one is a title, but there's no sentence over here. So here also, Vayapchor is a title, that's one din. It's a reference to one din. Asher Teilit is a different din. Yalkin Shmachamei is a different din. Machashmai Yisrael is a different din. Four different dinim, and the Pshutu Shal Mikra is not em. So the Gemara says, B'chol HaTarakula, we say, Ein amikhi yaitzim de pshuto. The pshuto is also binding, also emes, except for this pasuk. This pasuk there's no pshuto. Only the remozim, only the drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh are emes, and the pshuto shal mikra is not binding at all. Ein tachas ein shein tachas shein is a little different. The Rambam in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos writes that there are five different parts to Torah Shabbat Peh. So he says one part is the Pirushim HaMekubalim LaMoshe MiSinai, that there is certain, we have traditions that phrase means this. In English, there is every language, there are certain phrayses that have certain connotations. So Ayin Tachasayin is a melitza, it doesn't mean at all Ayin Tachasayin. Not that you don't follow Pshuto Shel Mikra. Pshuto Shel Mikra does mean that. The Rambam writes, Kach Reinu, generation after generation, that's what they saw B'dinah Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. It was told to Moshe Rabbeinu that that's an expression. He deserves to have Ayin Tachasayin, but it means moment. It means moment. Or it says you should take Priyetz Hodor. So the Rambam gives that example. Priyetz Hodor means an Esrog. It's a Melitza that means an Esrog. In every language, there are certain Melitzas that have a certain meaning. And it's not that you need a Torah. It's not that we're not following what it says. That's what it says. That's what it means, and that's what it says. Rabbi Shaul Salanter once made a comment, a famous comment. I think he was in Paris at that time. He went to Paris because there were so many Jewish students going to university. There was no Yiddishkeit, so he didn't speak French, but he organized shiurim in the university to be machzadem lemutav, to keep them religious. So they had some kind of war during his lifetime. So years ago, the king used to make a declaration of war. He would sign a declaration of war. We think years ago they didn't have ballpoint pens; they had pens. During my lifetime, they still have pens with ink. And sometimes you dip the pen in the ink in the bottle of ink. That was a little before my lifetime. But when I was a little boy, they still did that too. They used to have a blotter to dry up whatever you wrote. You wanted to dry it quickly, you put a blotter on top to dry up the ink. There was no such thing as a ballpoint pen. So the king of some country signed a declaration of war. On the first day, 10,000 people were killed in the war. So they had headlines in the newspaper, 10,000 people drown in one drop of ink. So everybody understood what it meant. 10,000 people died because of, not in a drop of ink. How can 10,000 people squeeze into one drop of ink? I mean, 10,000 people died because the king used a drop of ink and he signed the declaration of war. And it wasn't a funny newspaper. That was the normal newspaper. That's where they wrote the headlines. A catchy title. So there's such a Gemara, Rabbi Shaul Salanter. So the Gemara says, a bird was once flying by Yochni, a gigantic bird, and it laid an egg while it was flying in the air. The egg landed on the ground, and it cracked open, and 60 communities drowned in the egg. So what kind of leitzon is that? How can the egg be so big that 60 communities drowned? So Rabbi Shaul Salanter said he doesn't know what it means, but it says to him it's clear that when the Darshan gave that sermon, all the Balabatim and the Shul understood what their reference was. He was making a comment on current events. And today we live 1,500 years after the drasha was given, so no one remembers what it's talking about. But he says all the Agadas in the Gemara at the time that the drashas were delivered, everyone understood what they were talking about. It wasn't Sisrei Torah. They always sent Kabbalistic insights that they didn't want the public to understand. Everyone knew what they were talking about.
If Priya Tadar is clearly an Esther, then why is it? If Priya Tadar is for sure an Esther, then why is it more of a powerful whether it's more powerful?
So the Rambam writes in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnah is that the Gemara was trying to show even from the Hechrech, from the Pshutu Shal Mikra, that that's what it means. But he says they didn't really need that. It's from the Pirush HaMahamu Kubbalim LaMoshe Misina. The Rambam writes there are five parts to Torah Shabbat Peh. One part is Pirush HaMahamu Kubbalim. That's what it means. Another part, really, the bulk of Torah Shabbat Peh, is the drushes, where you read in between the lines, Akam is switched from singular to plural, from Zohar to Nekeda, an extra word, an extra letter, missing word, missing letter, you read in between the lines. Then you have Halachas L'moshe Misinai. Halachas L'moshe Misinai means a din, that the tefillin have to be black, and the tefillin have to be baksa, the batim have to be square. There's no way in the world to figure it out by reading in between the lines. And it's a halacha, kach nemar halacha, it's an oral tradition with no makor at all. And he says, there aren't so many. Don't think there are so many. And he says, I'm going to give you the full list. He gives you a list. He's missing many. So the bottom of the page of the Pirush HaMishnah is they write, look in the Chavis Yoyer. Chavis Yoyer says, the Rama forgot many, many halachas that seem to be halachal Moshe Messina. So the Netziv, in his introduction, the Netziv, as a teenager, wrote a commentary on the Shiltas. Very interesting. Would it ever occur to you as a teenager to write a commentary on the Shulchan? So the Netziv and his brother-in-law, the author of the Aruch HaShulchan, Aruch HaShulchan married the Netziv's sister. So the two brothers-in-law both wrote commentaries on the Shulchan. Interesting. A nine fall. So the Netziv has this commentary on the Shulchan, Hamik Sholo. So he has a Hakdama. It's called Kidmas HaEmek. When it was originally printed in Europe, so first he wrote the first third of the Hakdamah in the there are three volumes to the Netziv Shiltas. He wrote the first third of the Hakdamah, the first volume, and the second third in the second volume, and the end of the Hakdamah is in the third volume. Now they print them all together. Now Masada Rav Kook prints the whole Hakdamah together. The Kidma Seimek. So it's really not really a Hakdamah to his commentary on the Shiltas, it's really a Hakdamah to all of Torah Shabbat Peh. It's an introduction to Torah Shabbat. He has very interesting things there. So one of the things he wants to do is to defend the Rambam. He thinks that the Chavis Yoyer is not right. Chavis Yoyer says the Rambam left out so many halachas l'moshe Misinai. So he says he didn't leave it out. He says the Rambam is very consistent. Whenever the Gemara says Hilchas or Gemiri law, so Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rosh will always say that this is halachas l'moshe Misinai. The Rambam will always write consistently Mipi Hashmu Alamdu. What it means is, they had a tradition from an earlier generation, let's say, Chatzi Nezik Tzuris, the Gemara Nardaf, and the first daf in Sanhedrin, Daf Gimel Sanhedrin talks about Paul Ganisko, Knosso, but Chatzi Nezik Tzuris is Mammon, it's not Knoss. So the Gemara says, Hilchus Togmirilo, so Rashi Tesis and the Rosh understood that it's Halachal Moshe Messina that you pay Chatzi Nezik. So the Rambam doesn't write Halachal Moshe Messina, he writes Mepi Ashmolon, means that it was an old tradition from earlier generations, that they must have figured it out somewhere in the earlier generations based on Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Bem, and the derivation was forgotten in the later generations. So that's what the Gemara says, Hilchos Gemiri Lo. We have a tradition that it was worked out in earlier generations, but they didn't have a tradition that it was supposed to be Halachal Moshe Messina. So that's why the Rambam leaves out that one. He leaves out all of those that the Gemara never says Halachal Moshe Messina. The Gemara says Hilchos Gemiri Lo. He leaves them all out, and he's consistent. When he writes them in the Mishnah Torah, he'll always write Mepi Hashmu Alamdu. It was established based on a drasha, and we forgot what the drasha is. So the Rambam says these are the first three parts to the Torah Shabbat. You have Pirush Mahamukubalam L'Moshe Messina. That's what this phrase means. Priyetzodah, that's what it means. Ayin Tachasayin, that's what it means. Then you have Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Bem, that's the bulk of the Torah Shabbat Peh. All the dinim that are established based on the reading in between the lines. Then you have Halachas L'Moshe Messina. And then the fourth and the fifth section, the Rambam is a Chiddush, are the Gzeiros and the Takanas, the Rabbanim. The Gzeiros are the Loi Sesei, the Rabbanim, the Takanas are the Mitzvah Sesei, the Rabbanim. Let's say not to carry in a Carmelist, that's a Gzeiros. And to read the Megillah and Purim, that's a takon of the Rambam. So the Rambam seems to imply that all mitzvahs from the Rabbanon blend in to become part of Torah Shabbat Peh on the level of their Eisen. Because he puts in fourth and the fifth sections of Torah Shabbat Peh are the Gzeiros and the takon of the Rabbanon. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. They quote that Rav Velvel Soloveitchik learned he gave Shiur Makotchim. So why did he give Shiur Makotchim? So they quote that he said, because in Zvachim, most of the dinim are derais. If you're going to learn brachas, most of the dinim are derabbanan, so it's bitl Torah derais, it's only kiyum atal Torah derabbanan. Rabbi Soloveitchik gave shurim for years and years and years, gave over 10 years to the Balabatim here in New York, gave shurim my brachas. Then he had a fancy siyum at the end. So after it was all over, he said, someone may wonder, why did I choose to learn brachas? It's really bittul Torah men haTorah, it's only Talmud Torah men deRabbanan. Maybe I should have learned Zvachim. That's what his uncle said. Maybe I should have learned Zvachim because it's 95% deRaisas, only 5% deRabbanan. So it would have been more Talmud Torah deRaisa. So he said he doesn't think that analysis is correct. He says, the dinim deRabbanan, the chayvus agava, to observe it, it's only deRabbanan. But a chefzah shel Torah, it is a level of deRaisa. And how do you know that you can split? That the Chovis HaGavra doesn't exist min HaTorah, but it's still a Chavtza Shal Torah min HaTorah, and it's a Chiyam HaMitzvah Talmud Torah Deraisa. He said he sees that from the Gemara. The Gemara says in Erevin Daf Yud Gimel, Gemara says regarding the many disputes between the Beishama and the Beisilol, Elevi Eladivri Lekim Chaim. What does it mean? When you study Beishama Shita, you know in advance we're not going to pass like Beishama. So you should leave out all the Beishama. Why do you spend so much time? So sometimes you have to know what Beishama said in order to know what Beisilol agreed to and what they disagree about. Sometimes it sheds light on what Beisilol said. And sometimes not shedding any light whatsoever. Sometimes it goes on a whole dissertation, purely Beishama, and we don't pass like that at all. So why spend time as Bittul Torah? So the answer is no. The Beishama we're working with Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSperm. So it's Diri Lekim Chaim. There's no Chovis HaGavra at all. You're not allowed to follow Beishama. The Gemara said, "Bishamid b'makom misila in a mishnah." That's a Gemara in Brochas Daf Lamed Vav. Even b'shas hadchak, you don't rely on Beishama. We don't consider Beishama. They were outvoted in Gabay and Galak. We don't follow Beishama at all. No chavis agav at all. Not halacha lemais. But when you study Beishama shita, it is a chavtza shalter because it's based on midrash shalter and drash hashem. So therefore, there is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's true regarding all the dinim derabbanan. All the dinim derabbanan blend in to become part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, Torah Shebaal Peh is ever expanding. The whole world is expanding. A lot of things are expanding. So the Torah Shebaal Peh is also expanding. So all the dinim derabbanan blend in to become a chelik of the Torah Shebaal Peh, min haTorah. One of the students I remember asked Rav Soloveitchik, there's a din in the Gemara, you're not allowed to charge money for teaching Torah. I think it's in Voyeschana. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I taught you the Torah the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught it to me. Ma'ane b'chinam, afata b'chinam. Just like I taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah without charging. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to teach it to his Talmidim, and we teach the Torah without charging any salary. Yeshiva pays us schar batala. They pay us not to take another job, but they don't pay us to do the job. The professors in the afternoon are paid to teach. And the rabbis are paid not to take a job, and they're free to give a shiur, free of charge. But we're not salaried. You're not allowed to take a salary for teaching Torah. Schar batala means they pay us not to take another job when we're free to teach Torah without charging any money. So the Ramo quotes Agos Maimoni that to teach a din derabbanan, you're allowed to charge money. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that was difficult. He thought, how can you say like that? Teaching dinim derabbanan is also Talmud Torah deraisa. He thought that it shouldn't be so. So we shouldn't accept that Ramah. Yeah.
And this pasuk asher teleid, according to the drasha, it really means the bechor asher teleid to the mother of the deceased brother, right? That who's the bechor there? Not the bechor that's going to be born, the little baby. It's the bechor, the oldest brother of the deceased brother.
Right.
He is kedima v'yibum.
Yeah, that's v'hoy abchor mitzvah begad liyabe. Ashetelit is a different thing. Prat la'ilanis.
Right.
If the alman is an ilanis.
So Ashetelit goes back to this mama.
On the yeah, on the almana. Yeah. Prat la'ilanis. If she's an ilanis, the mitzvah doesn't apply. Yep. I don't think that's... We don't usually assume like that. The Ramban always gives Pshuto Shel Mikra in addition to the drushes of the Torah Shabbat. There are books in English that we read with. There's more than one, where the author had more than one intention. He had one obvious intention. He had two hidden intentions. There are poems and books like that. So the Gemara says about the Chumash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, Achaz Dibur Elokim, Shtayim Zu Shamati. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave one text, one Pasuk, but it can have more than one level of interpretation. Mikra echad yotze l'kama taimim. The Gemara said one pasuk can have many different meanings. Have a lot of psukim like that. But a lot of times you have a drasha of the Torah Shebaal Peh that's totally different. The drasha of the Torah Shebaal Peh is totally different from the Pshutu Shel Mikra. So we say they're both binding. The halacha says they're both binding.
If a Perush HaMakubal is the Pshutu Shel Mikra and the simple understanding of the pasuk isn't anything at all, so why will Unklos be Matargim, like in last week's parashah, the pasuk of Nefesh B'Nefesh Ayin B'Ayin, he doesn't write Momo.
The same melitza, whatever the melitza means in Hebrew, and biblical Hebrew means in biblical Aramaic. Why not? Many languages have the same melitza. Okay, it's late. I apologize. I mentioned originally that I'll have to. It's a yotzei call this Sunday. I have to give the shiur at 9:30 because I have to leave early. But normally is a normal time, and I apologize by coming late today. Maybe I'll just close with one more din. There's so many dinim in the parasha. Chumash has the din when you have an army fighting a battle, so they have to have voya machanecha kodesh. The machana has to be clean. There shouldn't be erva, there shouldn't be tzoya, there shouldn't be meiraglaim. Everything has to be clean in the army. So the Gemara has, the Rishami has at the end of the first perik in Erevin, a machlekes hatanoim. How many soldiers do you need in one location that should have the status of a machna? So the Chazanish says, based on a Magid Mishnah, Chazanish there, the end of the second perik in Erevin, says, based on the Magid Mishnah, it seems that we pass on Allah at 10 soldiers. Why 10 soldiers? Because what's the reason why you need Nikoyan HaMachana B'Hai HaMachanecha Kodesh? Because the Pesach says, Ki Hashem Alekecha Mesalach B'Ker HaMachanecha La'atzilecha Losas Ha'ivecha B'Yadecha B'Hai HaMachanecha Kodesh. Because the Shechina will be there with you. And the Gemara says, Kol Be'asar Shechin Tashari. If you have a minion of people, there will be Shechina. What do you mean a minion of people? A minion of people reading the Morgen Journal, Rav Soloveitchik, 10 people reading the newspaper. You're going to have Hashuas HaShechina. Means 10 people learning Torah. 10 people davening, saying a davish b'kedusha. Here the 10 people are fighting a Muhammad. But the Rebbe Shalom promises, if you have 10 people fighting Muhammad Hashem, it has to be not you have a Jewish battalion in the British army. No, you have, the Chazanish says, it has to be a Jewish army sponsored by the Jewish government ruling over Eretz Yisrael. Even if the Queen of England claims to be a descendant for the Malchus Beis David, even if it were true, but she's not ruling over Eretz Yisrael. You have to have a Jewish government ruling over Eretz Yisrael, has to have a status of Malchus Yisrael. Then the Jewish army has a status of Machne Yisrael. Then if you have Asara, then you say, Kol Be'asara Shechin Tesharia. They're fighting Mohammed Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, Ki Hashem Alekecha Mesalach B'Kar Machanech Lahatzi Lecha, Losis Avecha B'Yadech V'Hoya Machanech Kodesh. That's why, because the Shechina is there, that's why you have to have Nikoyen HaMachne. It's from these psukim that we learn out that you're not allowed to say tefila keneged tzoya, keneged erva, keneged meiraglaim. The psukim are not talking about tzoya. So the netzive is, how did the chazal and brachas, how did they learn out from these psukim? The answer is, they're doing a davish b'kedusha in the pasuk, they're fighting Mohammed Hashem. And we're doing a different thing. We're doing tefila and Torah. So the, just like if you need the koyen hamachna, because the shechina will be there, when you have 10 soldiers fighting Mohammed Hashem, so too the shechina will be present when you're learning Torah, when you're davening. So you have to have Nikoyim, but the original Pasuk stayed by the army. The Netziv wants to say a fantastic Chiddush. He wants to say that he quotes many, this is an introduction to the Shiltas, and his introduction to Torah Shebaal Peh, the Kidma Soemek. So he quotes many sources from the Gemara that all the wars in the world are because of Bittul Torah. The Goyim always claimed the Jews are at fault for all the wars, and then it seems that the Gemara says that we are at fault. All the wars in the world. Muhammad Bala Ilam Alibis Adin Abitl Torah, it's all our fault. So the Rebbe Shalom first makes a war somewhere far away to give us a hint. We should be Isaac and learning better. If we don't take the hint, he brings the Muhammad closer. If we still don't get the hint, then he puts us into the middle of the Muhammad. He says all wars in the world are because of Bitl Torah. So that's why Chizkiyahu HaMelech made. He made everybody learn Torah. How did he have the right to force everybody to learn Torah? And everybody, men, women, and children, everybody knew all the Tum of the Torah. What right did he have to force everybody to learn? It was a Shas Melchama. He wanted to protect the Medina. So if everybody's going to learn, they're going to protect the Medina. And he says, now he has his Chiddush, and he says, there must have been a battalion of soldiers on the front who were sitting and learning. So that's why there's a din of Tzoya Erev Meraglan, because they were sitting and learning over there. But the Pashtus is not so. Pashtus is the Bochum are learning in Yerushalayim, the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, in Makkos, The soldiers are successful when they go to battle on the front in the schus of Shari Yerushalayim, in the schus of the yeshivas in Yerushalayim. Not that the Talmid HaChacham are on the front and learning on the front. Can learn on the front. So the pashtus is that the soldiers in the army are just Isaac Mohammed. And that itself, Mohammed Hashem, that itself is a Dovish of Ikdusha. If you have 10 people, the Shekhinah will be there. Okay. So again, Sunday I'll have to give the shir at 9:30 instead of the normal time.